This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Glad you're with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm Mark Cox. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. And that is Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in here. Sue Thomas bringing you your traffic reports this morning. And I'm guessing they're probably starting to stack up out there a little bit. I was just looking out the window here of the studio. It's still snowing downtown. The temperature has dropped to 6 degrees. And my guess is, and I could be wrong about this, is that this first round of snow may have dropped a little more precipitation than they expected. They were thinking an inch or less. And it may be the grass isn't completely covered yet in the park across the street here. But at 4 a.m., it's been snowing for 3 hours now, because at 4 a.m. on our way in this morning, the highways were certainly snow covered enough that in some lanes you couldn't really see where you were going. And I did see some MoDOT crews out there working on it on 6440 as I was driving in this morning. But it's caused a lot of schools to either go virtual or cancel for the day. And I'm sure that the list is up there. We got a link on our website, probably at 971talk.com, if you want to go on there and take a look at it.
Probably even more tomorrow. But I mean, it was a little bit nerve-wracking driving when you couldn't even see the lanes, because there were quite a few cars out there. Even at 4 something in the morning, I couldn't believe how many. I don't seriously think I've seen that many vehicles out on the road at that time ever.
It was a surprising number amount of traffic for that hour, I would admit, which was amplified by the fact that I got trapped behind a road crew. And then the traffic started backing up. So there were probably as much traffic as I've seen in a long time at 4 in the morning. I don't know why all those people were out there. Mm-hmm. A number of them were truck drivers. So.
I mean, I was going definitely under 60. I was probably hovering closer to 50 miles per hour on 64 all the way down.
Well, be safe. Next hour, we're going to get meteorologist Dave Murray on the show to give us the latest forecast on round two, which apparently comes in later this afternoon. He'll tell you exactly what to expect. I have to tell you, I took a little trip, took my mom back to visit some of her friends in Ohio this weekend, Carl. You know what I got? Some
Skyline?
Cassano's pizza.
Oh.
I did get some Skyline, but I was in Cincinnati, and I got some Cassano's pizza, which is my favorite pizza on earth. If they would have agreed to it 30 years ago, I would have started a franchise here in St. Louis. It's the best pizza I've ever eaten. I grew up with it. I love it.
Why don't you try that now?
I just finished a plate of it a few minutes ago.
What's so good about it? What style pizza is it?
Well, it's a thin crust pizza, right? Not unlike some of the thin crust pizzas you can get here in St. Louis, except that they do something that I've never had anywhere else ever. the salt, the crust is salty. It's got a salted crust to it, and it just, whether you like salt or not, it's just a different taste to that pizza. It's a thin crust pizza cut into little squares, and it's just outstanding. I had some just a few minutes ago, which is why I bring it up.
So it's like Emo's or Cecil Whitaker's, but with a salted crust?
Yeah, except it's a lot better than either of those. And as you... as I was driving home on Sunday, I called ahead to the Cassano's Pizza Store and I ordered two extra large pizzas. I brought one to my son and I brought one home for me. And I'm still eating on it. I had some this morning during the break.
So you know how like Katie's Pizza is really popular here because they make their pizza from scratch, to my knowledge. And now yes. It's kind of expensive, but you can buy it at the grocery store. Her homemade pasta, her sauce, all of the things. Does Cassano's Pizza now make it frozen where you can go buy it at the grocery store?
Not that I've seen, maybe in the Cincinnati area, but you can't get it here. You can't get it here. And
yeah, I was thinking just maybe Ohio.
The supply lines are too far. The only place that there's one up near Hannibal that has the same name. But I ordered it the last time I was up there, and it didn't taste the same to me. So I think that you get far enough away from the supply route there in Cincinnati, and they just can't pull it off. But anyway, just bragging a little bit about that.
Carl, wasn't your pizza that Mark brought back for us really good?
Yeah, I had some earlier, and it's still in my brain.
Mm-hmm. I have some extra in there. I'll get you some.
No,
if you want
I don't
some.
Want to take
no,
away
no,
your
no 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 no
no Mark you. That would probably be your final meal if you were on death row. It sounds like that's what you would pick to eat.
It's possible.
I can't possibly rob you of that joy.
Either that Skyline. Or a big steak from Twisted Tree. One Ooh. Of the two might get the job done, if that's true. Please don't condemn me just yet, but that's it. All right, coming up, we got lots of stuff to get to still. We were going to talk to Mark Walters from 2A Tuesday on the canceling of the FOID cards, at least a portion of that law in the state of Illinois. That's at 7:35. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We're not going to be catch and release is over. So those facilities that were at great taxpayer expense to welcome people, fly them to the city of their choice, give them a free hotel room at taxpayer expense, three meals a day, free medical attention. Those days are over.
Over. There are NGOs that support only illegals out in the Southern California area that said they had zero business the past week. Nobody walked in the door looking for help.
Last term, I could not even get the Democrats to bring it up in the Senate. It passed unanimous in the House, not even a question, because they're going to have to admit they made a mistake.
Yep, that's Congressman Tim Burchett talking about the fact that the Democrats are scared to death of what Elon Musk is about to uncover.
Now, speaking of church, can I say something? If more folks went to church, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in now.
You know what? I agree with you, Doug. I'd like to shake your hand, sir.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, one of the downsides there. Of course, they got Tom Hanks to insult every Trump supporter in America by accusing you of being a backwoods racist. And that was a real shame that they had to ruin the evening with something like that.
We have First Alert Weather Day for Tuesday. First thing you need to know is overnight into the morning, some light snow bands. Look, if you're not in that these little narrow snow bands, you don't get much or any snow.
Well, that was yesterday. I don't know if Steve Temple would revise those remarks this morning or not. I'm looking outside. It's still coming down here. It's been snowing for about 3 hours. There's certainly more than a dusting. And I drive in from St. Charles County, so we had it out there this morning, and I had it all the way downtown. So this band was not quite as narrow, I don't think, as what they were expecting. I could be wrong about that. What's going to happen with the next round? Well, Dave Murray knows, and we'll get him on here in about an hour, and we'll talk to him about that. Because last Wednesday, all the schools closed for basically no reason. And I don't know if some of them have not overreacted a little bit this morning. My kids' school went to remote learning today. But some of them, I think, have just shut down, period.
I'm just so sick of the snow. Yeah. It's fun for the first big snowfall. And then after that, you just get tired of it, especially for all the parents who now are having to completely restructure their day if their kids' school did could call off, because if they called off today, chances are they'll be likely to call off tomorrow as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, my daughter was worried about that yesterday when I saw her. Are they going to call off tomorrow? Not again.
Your daughter, so, Ginger wants to go to school?
No, this is my oldest daughter who has two young children in daycare.
Oh, okay. Well, that's more understandable.
She was waiting for them to, I should have clarified that. Yeah, she was waiting. She was dreading if they canceled the daycare this morning.
They were. I was talking with the woman who does in-home daycare, and she was talking about potentially closing tomorrow. And I said, "Let's just play it by ear.
Yeah,
let's just wait and see.
Let's wait based on
because
how well they
that
did
affects
on the last
us.
Forecast." Exactly. It's windy outside too, so bundle up before you get out there for sure. All right, we'll get to a quick break here again. Mark Walters coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chanel Rione is going to join me. We haven't had her on for a while. She's, of course, the chief White House correspondent for One American News. It's a whole new world in Washington, D.C. We'll talk to Chanel at about 8:20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
This morning, stay tuned.
After the speech of Vice President Vance on Friday, we have to fear that our common value base is not that common anymore. I'm very grateful to all those European politicians that spoke out and reaffirmed the values and principles that they are defending. No one did this better than President Zelensky. Let me conclude, and this becomes difficult.
Just come back. Oh my God. This is the German dude in charge of that security conference that J.D. Vance had addressed last week. All he did was give a speech. Apparently, words hurt you if you're in Europe and somebody gives a speech that you don't like, which is the whole point of J.D. Vance's speech. He said to the people assembled there, we need to look at the enemy from within. You have violated people's right to free speech. You shut down anybody who has a different thought than you in Europe, and it's not healthy. And this guy stood up on the stage, and his feelings were so hurt that he broke down in tears. Of course, the left-wing media in this country, MSDNC and others, are CNN, are playing this up. J.D. Vance was supporting far-right extremists. He wants anybody to be able to... They live in a society where they couldn't do what they do if it wasn't for the First Amendment built into our Constitution. Think about that. They don't have the First Amendment in Europe. It's one reason our founders insisted upon it. The right to free speech. And the Second Amendment to back up your right to say what you want. They don't have that in Europe either. But the point is, they were so butthurt over J.D. Vance telling them the truth that they all, what he's saying is not true. It is not true. Well, then guess what? I don't watch 60 Minutes very often anymore, but 60 Minutes did a piece where they absolutely proved his point exactly. Listen to this, because his point was about censorship in Europe, and it's what the Democrats wanted to do here. Remember the disinformation czar and wanting to go behind behind the scenes and manipulate social media and manipulate the message and shut down conservatives? Oh, the liberals here would love to do what they do in Germany, which is shut down free speech. But we're not going to let them do that. And Elon Musk isn't going to let them do that. And J.D. Vance is very critical of what they're doing in Europe. Think of what they've done over there. Do you see, was it in Munich, where they had the guy drive through the crowd again? Some Syrian refugee in there? They've opened their borders up. They've poisoned the well. And now they if you speak out against it, they will throw you in jail. That's what's gone on. And they can't stand the fact that J.D. Vance called them out on their crap. Listen to... cut number 7, the interview 60 Minutes did with these folks in Germany about whether or not you could be arrested for what you say in Germany. Go to cut 7.
Is it a crime to insult somebody in public?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it's a crime to insult them online as well?
Yes.
The fine could be even higher.
Yeah.
If you insult someone in the internet.
Why?
Because in internet, it stays there. If we are talking here face-to-face, you insult me, I insult you, okay, finish. But if you're in the internet, if I insult you or a politician...
That sticks around forever.
Yeah.
The prosecutors explain German law also prohibits the spread of malicious gossip, violent threats, and fake quotes. If somebody posts something that's not true, and then somebody else reposts it or likes it, are they committing a crime?
In the case of reposting, it is a crime as well, because the reader can't distinguish whether you just invented this or just reposted it. That's the same for us.
The punishment for breaking hate speech laws can include jail time for repeat offenders.
Remember, they're the ones who defined it as hate speech. If they disagree with it or it's too critical of government policy, they will throw you in jail for it in Germany.
That's so alarming. We should be so thankful for free speech. And think about, you know, what the government calls true versus what we actually know to be true. With now, all these chemicals in our food and the COVID, the mRNA vaccine, it's safe. It's safe. If I were to sit there like many of us did and say, you know, we're calling you on your BS, we'd be potentially thrown in jail. I mean, what do they call a criticism in Germany? If I say, Mark Cox, I don't like your outfit today, is that enough to get me...
If you do it on social media,
apparently it lasts.
It is. It lasts on social media. This is the insanity of it. They're accusing him of supporting Adolf Hitler, one of them said, because he was insulting to their laws on, you know, what they refer to as disinformation or hate speech, or that he was somehow supporting extreme right-wing causes in Germany. This is the difficult choices we face. It's also something the Trump administration will not back down from. And they know that. They got away with this crap for years. And we were funding them for a lot of it with USAID money. That gravy train is screeching to a halt, baby. Stay tuned for more on that. All right, coming up, my friend Mark Walters is in here. We're going to talk to him about this FOID card ruling by a judge in the state of Illinois. Stay tuned.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Our friend Mark Walters back with us, host of Armed American Radio and spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation as well. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on. Good morning, Kim. You look a little different than you did when I was on a couple weeks ago. Glad to see you back.
Morning.
Yeah, it's thank you for that. You know, I reported this last week, but I've been anxious to have you on to talk about it. And that is the fact that the Second Amendment Foundation was involved in this case challenging these FOID mandates in Illinois. I don't understand how this thing has stood for as many years as it has, but it's about time for a judge to step up and say, this isn't right.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened in the Illinois case. First off, for listeners, let's explain what a FOID card is. It's a firearms owner identification card. So in Illinois, you have to get and pass a background check and pay to get a card that says you can then go buy a gun. And then you have to pass a background check for the gun. Then if you want to carry it, you have to pass a background check and get a CCL. So it's a three-step process. But this case deals with a gun in a home owned by a woman who did not have a FOID card. And this case has bopped around through the courts. It's been to the Illinois Supreme Court twice. But it was all pre-Bruin decision. So now post-Bruin, the Illinois Supreme Court remanded it back, and it was now being revisited. So there's three instances in this case that are fascinating. The first one is whether the individual's conduct is protected by the Second Amendment. And the Supreme Court previously noted in Heller and in Bruin that the people who are protected by the Second Amendment are law-abiding, responsible citizens. So Illinois argued that the defendant is not protected by the Second Amendment because she is not a law-abiding, responsible citizen because she didn't bow to the state and get a FOID card. So they set her up to be a criminal, okay?
Wow.
So the state reasoned that because the defendant failed to apply and obtain the FOID card and possess a firearm, she is no longer law-abiding. Therefore, her owning a gun in her own home, which you have to go back to 2008 Heller decision, said was protected by the Second Amendment, and it did not mention anything about having an owner's identification card. So the state set her up to be a criminal. And the judge in the case, and I quote, said that reasoning would exclude every person who fails or refuses to comply with even the most draconian gun legislation from challenging its constitutionality because it would no longer be considered law-abiding citizens. They would be considered to fall outside the scope of the group of people protected by the Second Amendment, which, of course, the judge went on to say would open the floodgates for the government to pass the most restrictive gun laws while limiting the number of people who could challenge them, which eventually would mean everybody would eventually be disarmed. So the burden now shifts because of the Bruin decision to the government, who is now forced to have to demonstrate that the regulation, the FOID card, Mark, is now consistent with the nation's historical traditional firearm regulation, and that's quoting from Bruin. And because the judge is intelligent and using common sense, found that the FOID Act is relatively recent vintage and was acted in 1967. Therefore, there's no historical analog to the act, making Illinois' FOID card unconstitutional. So here we go all the way back around to why the Bruin decision was so important.
Yes.
And guys, what this is just proof. Illinois literally puts these regulations in place so that they can turn you into a criminal to later go after you if they want to. But here's something interesting about the case. How did the state know that she had a .22 rifle in her home? Well, the defendant's, I guess, husband notified police that she had a gun in the house and had fired the gun in the home. Cops showed up. There was no evidence the gun was fired. No one else in the house heard a gunshot. The gun was tested. There was no residue. So you have to wonder, it begs the question, why did this guy call her? Why? Because he probably knew he wanted to. Yeah, they might have been arguing. I'm, you know, educated guess here. No other reason. Why would you call the cops on your wife if you weren't? Something like that. He just wanted to get her in trouble because he knew she didn't have a FOID card, claimed the gun was fired. So what did they do? They got there and said, no, this gun wasn't fired. Oh, do you have a FOID card? You don't? Well, you're under arrest. Come with us. And boom, this case has been bopping around for years. This is evidence of overreaching. This is what the this is what they have in store for you. They would do this to everyone, and it should frighten all Americans. Thank God for the Bruin decision.
You talk about overreaching. The other story I found that caught my attention on SAF.org was talking about how the foundation is suing the state of Massachusetts over its gun ban, which basically bans adults ages 18 to 20 from having, I guess it would be, was it any semi-automatic or any type of gun? It seems crazy to me because how are you able to fight in the military with that, but then all of a sudden you can't have one in your own home?
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm glad you brought up the Massachusetts case. I've been talking about this one for quite a while. This is the sixth or seventh case of its kind where the Second Amendment Foundation has sued to protect the rights of 18 to 20-year-olds, including state. Now, they didn't file the case in Florida, but, of course, this was the concern with Pam Bondi. It kind of goes hand in hand with Massachusetts because Pam Bondi vocally supported the Parkland bill after that tragedy in 2018 on February 14th, 7 years ago. When, of course, she supported part of that Parkland bill, two provisions that she supported. One was red flags, and the other was the state banning 18 to 20-year-olds from possessing firearms. So the Second Amendment Foundation has sued over seven times. And the strategy here, so that you know, is to get the rifts in the circuit courts, the splits in the circuit courts, to eventually get one of these cases to the Supreme Court. It is patently insane that an 18-year-old who can enter any legal contract, get married, buy a business, go bankrupt, become a felon, anything, cannot possess a firearm as an adult at 18. Now, I have a solution for that. And when you talk about the David Hogs and all these other little wimpy beta males who somehow claim that guns are so bad and 18 to 20-year-old shouldn't possess them, well, you're at 18, you're an adult at 18 legally, but you can't drink till you're 21. When I was 18, you could drink because that was the law. It's a man-made law. So I would suggest if you're 18 to 20 and don't want to possess a gun, then you make the determination as to when you want to become an adult. I'm going to sign a proclamation that says I'm going to be a legal adult at 21. Then you have no benefits between 18. Make it your choice.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
That's what you want to do. That's an option, right? Make it your choice.
Yeah.
You can't go into the military. You can't get married. You can't be an adult. You can't drive. I don't care what it is. You make that decision. That's how absurd these laws are, and these are the decisions that people have to make. So the Second Amendment Foundation doing God's work out there and suing these states into compliance, and eventually one of these will get to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen overnight because the courts move slow. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make you seem old or anything, Mark, but like I was the same way. At 18, you could get 3.2% alcohol beer in Ohio. You could buy 3.2 beer at 18.
When did they change that?
It was years ago. And then I went away to college. And in Kentucky, where I went to school, it was 21. So that was a shock to the system. So I had to join a fraternity so I could still get beer.
Well, but you weren't driving. You were taking your covered wagon, right?
Well, yeah. Thank you, Kim. Wow.
Well, it didn't matter because you were in Kentucky. You just make your own moonshine.
Yeah, thank you. I was making my own bourbon down there back then. Mark Walters, your great brother. Keep up the great work. Tell people where they can listen to the show.
Yeah, armedamericanradio.com every Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Central, every Sunday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Central. And you can read all about it at armedamericanradio.com and Armed American News. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Yep. Keep up the great work. Mark Walters there, host of Armed American Radio. Great job. Yeah. The covered wagon. Take a covered wagon. It's like a mule.
Did you worry about dying from dysentery, kind of like the Oregon Trail?
Those were the days. And you could drink twice as many beers because it only had half the alcohol. I mean,
they have, what, 5% now?
That's not how math works.
I know, Carl.
It's girl math.
It was a joke.
Doesn't really make sense.
A bad joke, but it was a joke nonetheless. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we talking about on Kim and a Whim today?
This really will be on a whim because I've been going back and forth in my head on what I wanted to talk about because there's so many things. But I'll tell you what, this plane situation where it flipped over.
Yes.
And they say people were like hanging like bats and then unbuckled and were standing on the, I guess what would have been really the ceiling of the plane in Toronto. What is going on with all these plane incidents all of a sudden?
Kim on a Whim.
It is pretty incredible when you're looking at the images of this plane that flipped upside down in Toronto, that all 80 people on board, 87 passengers, I think it was, and some crew members, all of them survived. 18 people injured, but wow. Can you imagine how terrifying that would have been?
I cannot imagine how terrifying that, because I guess the fact that they'd flown all the way from Minneapolis to Toronto, most of the fuel, they burned up most of the fuel, so that when they touched down and the wing broke off, the thing didn't just engulf the whole plane in a ball of flames.
Yeah, they were saying the plane's actually designed to have its wing do that. Kind of like a car when you get into an accident. The car looks worse, but it's designed to fold up kind of like an accordion. But in turn, it protects you. Whereas the old way, I guess, of making cars, the car maybe not wouldn't look as damaged, but you would be more at risk of being injured.
So for all the times you've been on an airplane, they said, all right, make final cabin preparations. We're preparing to land, and you have to put your tray table in an upright position and store your stuff under the seat in front of you. Now you might understand why they do that. That plane flipped upside down. People could have broken their necks if things had been in the way. And I saw some people actually stop to get their luggage. There was one guy had his carry-on on his shoulder as he was walking away from the plane. That's crazy to me.
That's crazy.
That they had, people were hanging upside down from their seatbelts, so they had to release that latch, and then they probably fell to the
and hit their heads.
Ceiling, and then had to get up and make their way down the center aisle to crawl out of that plane. Now, I understand that a kid was
critically
one of the
injured.
Ones that was seriously injured, but none of them were life-threatening, apparently.
Mm-mm. No, it's pretty incredible, but it's scary. You know, when you know you're about to land, I think that's when we feel maybe the safest. Obviously, you know things can go wrong, but you're like, okay, we made it. We're going to be on the ground in 15, 20 minutes. You can start to see the ground, you know, ground a little closer, and you just feel more confident. And that's what's also so scary about what happened with that plane that collided with the helicopter in Washington, D.C. And you just have to wonder, what is going on with all these plane incidents? Are we hearing about them more? Are they happening more? Remember with the train derailment, and it was like once one happened, it seemed like every week we were hearing about a new train derailment. That was odd to me. And then I remember last year when the door blew off that flight mid-flight, which was terrifying, and I think one woman died from that incident. It seemed as though we were hearing about crazy things similar to that happening all the time. I'm sure to an extent we're hearing about them more. Every little thing that maybe wouldn't be as big of news is becoming bigger because people are fascinated by it right now, and the news outlets know it. It's click-worthy. But it does kind of freak you out. Like, why is this all happening at one time?
Still the safest way to travel. I mean,
I know you say that, but it's still scary.
It's still the safest way. It is. It's still the...
No, I agree with you.
But
it makes you scared to fly a little bit. Like, you would go on a plane right now and not feel at all a little bit nervous?
Well, I say a little prayer every time I get on a plane.
There you go.
But I used to do that every time I got on the helicopter for Channel 4.
Yeah.
My wife and I had a rule. If they were sending me somewhere I had to fly on that helicopter, I would always call her the minute I found out and then the minute I safely landed back on the ground. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there wasn't a single time when she'd gone ahead and started spending the life insurance money, but I know that's what she was thinking about. Were you still there when they had the helicopter?
I think they had just gotten rid of it. They started using drones.
I tell this story all the time, but they used to have something in Washington, D.C. called the Newseum. It was a museum to television news and broadcasting in the United States. It's now shut down. But when they had the Newseum in D.C., the helicopter that hung in the lobby of the news museum was the same model that we used to fly for Channel 4. And we're still flying until just whenever they canceled it 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of stations did the same thing. My station in Nashville canceled it because now everyone, all the photographers are expected to have drones and be certified.
They're all licensed to fly drones.
Yeah. There's just something that's freaky about all of this that keeps happening. Like we had the DC crash, and then like a day later we had the crash in,
Pennsylvania.
Was it Pennsylvania?
Yeah. And the Dems are trying to tie this latest one to, and all of them to cuts or something that Donald Trump did to the FAA, and it's really got none. It had no impact at all on that. None.
Well,
whatsoever.
Considering it was not even in our country, that wouldn't make sense.
Well, not the latest
sense.
One for sure. I just meant all of them. They've tried to say that, well, since he took over, there have been all these plane crashes. Like he had anything to do with it.
Well, he was critical of there being it being short-staffed.
Yes,
that was
critical.
What he was. Yeah.
critical, but none of his actions caused them to be short-staffed the night the helicopter flew into the plane.
Right.
Still
a lot of questions about what really happened there with that crash.
Yeah. Coming up, we'll get to Chanel Rione, of course, a correspondent for One American News at the White House. I want to talk to her about the biggest differences of covering the White House now versus, 4 weeks ago. Ryan Wiggins is in studio with us, and meteorologist Dave Murray with the up-to-date forecast for you on the snow at 8:45.
Get more at 971talk.com. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.